Saving for retirement is essential, especially as people are living for longer. In the South African context, it's a concern as research suggests that only 6% of South Africans manage to save for a comfortable retirement. Saving for retirement requires time, consistency and discipline. And some argue that you need the skills of financial managers to help you to achieve your retirement goals. Well, to share his perspective on the topic, I'm joined in studio by Nick Horn. He's director and regional head at Citadel in Durban. Nick, some people fear that retirement is a time when you go into minimalist living, go nowhere and rock in a chair until the end. Surely that needn't be a reality for anybody.
Absolutely. Sadly, though, Nompu, if one looks at the statistics in South Africa, a significant proportion of people, when they retire, are not able to live the kind of lifestyles that they've been accustomed to while they've worked, had cash flow, had income. I've been fortunate enough in our business at Citadel to be a first-hand witness of retirement for close on 23 years now, and I've been fortunate to witness how people have done it right and have been able to maintain the kind of standards of living that they've wanted to and aspired to through their working lives.
Hmm. So presumably because it's a different life stage, one won't necessarily need the same amount of money to survive as when, you know, one was paying off a bond, school fees and moving up and down every day to make a living.
Yes and no. What you find is, you know, medical expenses start to kick in to replace some of the costs that have been defrayed through getting older. But you also then find people are looking after grandkids or still kids at university. People, so it doesn't necessarily work like that. It's often expenses tend to grow.
Okay. So what mindset do you need to have about saving for the future, specifically retirement, and what investment armory can you use to achieve your goals?
Look, I think you need to plan and you need to start planning early and you need to set goals. It also doesn't make sense to live like a pauper and save and not enjoy your life either. So there's a fine balance between accumulating and not spending everything. I think also the kind of investment approach that you need to adopt is when you're young, you do find that people, when they invest their money, take far too little risk, embrace far too little potential volatility. And people get a bit older and they start realizing that their time is short and they start to take too much risk. So the risk chain is turned upside down very often, and that's not always a good thing.
How important is time in terms of saving for retirement? We always hear the earlier that you save, the better it is.
Well, there's an old actuarial joke that says compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. I'll agree with that. So the earlier, the better. The earlier, the better.
What are the key pieces of advice that you would give to someone who's aiming to retire comfortably, what they need to do in terms of time, in terms of the percentage of their income that they should be saving, et cetera, et cetera?
I'd started from the other side. And the way we do it is we start working on a roadmap, a lifestyle plan. And, the most common question I get if somebody comes to see me is, look, I'm retiring, I've got X, is it enough? And I answer that with another question, what is your lifestyle? You know, how do you want to live? You then use that to try and build up what capital base is required. And there's a very simple rule of thumb that we use. You know, if you can double 5% of your accumulated capital, it'll last you forever. There's lots of mathematical models that people use. The simple rule of thumb is take what you need to spend per annum. And by that, I mean monthly expenses, household expenses, travel, local, offshore, education, etc., etc. Map that out. If you can get to an annual number, just multiply by 20, and there's your 5%.
So people of your ilk often talk about the importance of ensuring that you have a diversified portfolio so that one doesn't put all of one's eggs in one basket. So presumably the best way to do that is to get the services of a fund manager, or can shoving all your funds in an index tracker type of fund be just as effective? And of course, in that way, you're going to be paying less in management fees.
There is a very, very strong sensitivity about fees, which I do agree with. But what is hidden in all of that is diversification and proper asset allocation is everything when it comes to investing. And, you know, when you talk about an index tracker, what you're talking about is South African equities or maybe global equities. In a properly diversified portfolio, when it comes to managing retirement money, we probably use 10, 11 asset classes. South African equities is one, maybe global equities is two. You know, what about the other eight? So we can be obsessed with fees, but we need to be very, very clear that the guidance we're getting in terms of how we allocate our assets to create a robust, diversified portfolio is there. And one of the points I made in a particular article I wrote was, you know, DIYing is a very, very dangerous thing to do when it comes to managing retirement money. And the most important rationale for that comment is you cannot be objective about your own stuff, be it your money, be it your kids, be it anything else. You have to separate yourself from your assets. And when people ask me what I do, I say my role is to stand between my clients and their money, to not make emotional decisions based on, you know, irrational fear. You just look at the last 8 months, the currency's been all over the place, markets have been all over the place. What do? You actually sit on your hands, and you need somebody to keep you calm and make calm, rational decisions. And it's very difficult if you're DIYing that.
Yeah. And you talk about the volatility and you talk about the uncertainty. Investments seem to be ruled by headlines that emanate from, you know, the other side of the world and so on. What advice do you give to people who have genuine apprehensions about being invested in the equities markets? And you know, as much as you say that, of course, there are lots of other asset classes that one could invest in, a vast proportion of funds tend to be invested in equity markets. So what do you say to apprehensive investors, especially those who are coming up towards retirement, who are worried about their funds having shrunk in the last while?
We spoke about time earlier. Your investments need time, they need breathing space. You need to make sure that you've structured a portfolio that when you draw from it, you're not drawing from the volatile element of your portfolio. So one of the disadvantages of using mixed asset funds, a balanced fund typically, is if you need to draw from it, you're drawing across every single asset class invested in that fund. So the view we take is you separate your asset classes and you draw from the stuff, for want of a better word, that hasn't reacted to volatility, which gives your volatile assets the breathing space to recover. The second issue is if you make a long-term assessment on an asset class, you don't change that overnight. You've either made a big mistake if you do, or you've reacted emotionally. Volatility isn't risk. Volatility is just volatility. And if you're able to wait it out through not having to spend from assets that have come under pressure, those are the assets that will actually make you the most money over time. So your assets just need time and they need patience.
Hmm. The last thing, and it really refers to something that you said earlier, talking about if you can work out your expenses and, you know, if you can times it by 20, you'd roughly get the kind of money that you would need to be able to survive. But you're making it a big assumption there, Nick, that people are living up until maybe 80, but people are living for far longer.
Absolutely. Longevity is becoming more and more of an issue. You know, if you think about it, you retired at 65 back then. You know, you plan to die at 80. That gives you, let me get my maths right, for, let's say 90, 25 years worth of time to live off your money. Add 10% to, or add 10 years to that, that adds, you know, an extra 30% to what you need. So longevity is a big issue. But
so how do you deal with that?
As you get older, well, as people have got older now, I think once you might live longer, but your quality of life is better too, because people are healthier. That's why they live longer. So my experience is that when people retire, they've just got busier and busier. Their skills are at a premium. Their experience is at a premium. And while they might have walked away from a corporate job, the next thing you know, they are consulting out. They are sitting on three or four boards. They're making money. They might not be making what they made before, but it means they're spending less of their capital because they've got a portion of it in income. And they have to live off less of their assets in the beginning. But quality of life has improved radically as well. So living longer is an issue if you just look at money in isolation.
Yes.
But the fact that people can continue to add value, they continue to be active in the economy, means that their money will last them longer because they're spending less.
That was Nick Horn. He's Director and Regional Head at Citadel in Durban.